You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Romans and chapter 12. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bow head and heart in your presence. Thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your provision, our Lord, in your death, burial, and resurrection, to make it possible for us to hear thy word, to understand thy word, and to experience truth. To enjoy you, our God. Thank you very, 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 very much. Thank you again. In Christ's name, amen. In us, this is our third and fourth, light last Sunday, our studies on warfare, to war the great warfare. And we try to develop that inch by inch, a little bit, so that you understand that which is very foreign to believers. To the world knows it, but not very well. Now, so we share together in the process that you and I, all us humans, are part of the world system. The world system has no use and no place for God whatsoever. God is excluded permanently from the world system. So, and we're part of it. It's us humans make it up, our old nature, etc., etc. And we live with it, and we're part of it. Now, having said that, we have reached a point in history, in the light of the technology and electronic age, where we have an exponential straight up. We have reached a point and a place that never has been on planet Earth, never. Not like this. And it has compounded and made great confusion and conflict. So as this technology has advanced, it is king. The electronic world is king today. And you need to understand what? Humans have found a home in the electronic world. The electronic world has made it a home out there. We found a home in it. We shared it the other day. And our whole life, it used to be a simple life. You do what you did in the ordinary, normal ways of living. But now we've reached a point where without your smartphone, smart watch, a smart bracelet, whatever you got all the smart things, and your computer and all these things. I don't have one, so that's why I'm not very knowledgeable. I don't want one either. Now, that's no offense. I couldn't do it. I couldn't push the buttons. I watch people push buttons just like this. Do you know when I went to college, I never had to type. Never had to type. We just wrote everything out. Do you remember that? So I never had to type. Engineering, I never had to type. You know, just, you read books, you know what books are, books and everything. And we do all those things. And we did them. So here's the computer world. And it has swallowed up where we go, what we do, what we think. And it's coming up more and more how to think. So when you got a problem, you tell your whatever it is you've got, and it will talk to you and tell you what you need to do to fix it. We're caught in the electronic world. We have chosen to be caught. That's the point. We have chosen to be caught in it. It isn't something voluntary. We have chosen to do so. You don't have to do so. A lot of people, don't do so. But they're caught. They go to bed with it. They get up with it. It tells them what to do, where to go, what to spell, how to say, everything. Everything. And we're caught in it. We've chosen it. That's what I want you to see. We've chosen it. Now, so here we are, humans, part of this world system, and God comes along and gives us his word and his saving grace by way of Calvary's cross, and we're able to go and make a wonderful transition from our human earthly life this way, terminating in death, terminating in disease and everything else. And we're on that journey. The end, even though people don't want to ever think about it, and the end, they don't want to, because they don't want to think about it, is not easy to see and not very pleasant to see. So we don't want to see a termination, and we're caught up. That's why communism, socialism, materialism, humanism, all of these things, Marxism, all of these things are popular in the sense, they're popular. But they have no future. They have no future. So everything is here and now, and they have no, the only place they're going is here. Everything they're going to ever have is here. So here's all of that world, and they have no place for God. No place for God in the process. So in the process, I started to say, we're caught up in it. That's the point. We're caught up in it. Don't have to be. We are. And it masters us. That's going faster and faster. And more and more and more and more and more. And faster and faster, more and more. And us humans are faulty and frailing. We aren't very good at keeping up. And as it keeps going faster, we don't have time to understand it or solve the problems that it's making in our humanity. And it goes to the next thing and the next thing, and we can't catch it. So we don't solve anything. And when we're trying to solve it, the thing keeps moving past, and that problem you're trying to solve is now complicated by all the other things that are happening. And we never get answers. We don't come up with things. We're caught in this system. That's what I want you to understand. And we're part of it. And the computer world, electronic world, controls it. Whoever controls that world. And there are people, communists and different, all kinds of people, for their agendas, for whatever they're after, are using the disruption of humanity caught up in this, and they're taking advantage of it and pushing their agendas and their everything that isn't so good, to say the least. Point, Romans 12. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, in the light of 11 chapters, God gives us all the wonderful things about our righteousness and Israel and everything else. Now, chapter 12. I'm going to read verse 36 again like we did. The end of Israel, telling you about Israel. Verse 36, for of him and through him, he's the source. He's the one that makes everything keep going. And to him, he's the object of why it's all created. Are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, in the light of that, verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, most logical service. Verse 2. And be not conformed, there we are looking, caught up, people do this, you got to have a new computer, a new this, a new that, to stay up to speed. And be not conformed to this world system, but be transformed inside the mind, thinking, transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's how we got caught up in the computer world, addicted. We are the society is generally addicted to the computer world. They can't do without it. And we shared it the other day. If I took away your computer, smartphone, or everything else, what would you do tomorrow morning? If I took it all away, have you got a book? Have you got anything, a map? You know what a map is? Map? What would you do? We're caught. We're addicted. We're addicted to it. So, in the light of that, God, being caught up in it, you're going to tell us that we've got to renew our mind. And I can get caught. I can choose to be in this electronic world to the degree I want to. God, you have given me the power of choice to believe on you and to understand your word and your working and your grace. You have a wonderful, wonderful plan for me, Ephesians 2:10, from the foundation of the world, before we were ever created. You have a wonderful plan. And that plan you have in mind is all finished, and you haven't even created angels yet. And so here we are on planet Earth, so we're the result of all that you have in mind. And you're going to do, so you've given us a choice to get to know you, to get saved. And in the process, we come to know you as our Savior. And when we do, you give us a brand new life, we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. All things have become new, 2 Corinthians. All of those awesome things. You've given us a wonderful opportunity. We're caught up in death, sin, sorrow, and suffering. We're caught up in human. We're caught up in our humanity. We can't get away from it. We can't win in it. We're caught in it. So in being caught in that humanity, God, you died on the cross to free us from it so that we, while we're on planet Earth, could discover your wonderful person, to discover your wonderful plan for our life. And that plan started the minute that we received the Lord as our Savior. God starts that plan, and we're to live it. But I have to choose to want to know it. I choose to get into the electronic world. I did it all by my lonesome. And I choose. God said, make a choice. Renewing of your mind, the end of verse 2, that you may prove and put to the test what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I can choose that. That's what we're looking at. What does that do? It creates a warfare. A warfare that we've never understood, and that's what we've been looking at. Now, having said that little bit, and half a cent's worth, all of that, and all of it is immense, and it's for real. God gave you the wonderful privilege to be on Earth and enjoy a privileged life, really privileged life. And you don't apologize for it, no more than America should apologize for what we have. You don't apologize for it. God gave it to you by his death on the cross, and you're to exercise it. Now, in the light of that, over if you would. So we have to do it. So I'm interested now in adding some pieces over to Joshua. Joshua, if I can, going back to Israel. And you'd recall, the warfare is a real warfare. Now, I want to go from Israel to us. So, Israel spent 30 years in Egypt. They were slaves. They never had to war. They did what they did, bricks and pyramids and whatever they did. And they did all these things. They never had to go to war. They weren't Pharaoh's army. Nope. But when they crossed the Jordan, when they crossed the Red Sea, 4 miles, crossed the Red Sea into the land of Sinai, and they were introduced to God at Mount Sinai, and then commenced a war. And they never knew it. Now remember, we did all these things in these best times. Israel looked at the Exodus, and he called them his armies. His armies. He never said, my slaves, I've freed my slaves. No, I've let loose my army. That's crossing, moving, army, army, army. War, that's right, he's the god of war. It's a evil, good, darkness, light, right, wrong, burn it. It isn't about us, whether we like something or don't like something. It's an awesome, huge picture of right and wrong, and God, the only God and the only Savior, being who he is. So therefore, Israel, when they crossed the River Jordan, what did they do? They went to war. That's what they did. And going to war, they knew the Egyptians. They knew what swords were. They knew what everything was from Egypt and et cetera, a little bit in the wilderness. Now, they're going to cross. Now, God said, you're going to cross the Jordan. Your whole life now is going to be different. Different. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you had better expect your life is going to be different, and it better be different. It's wonderfully different. You wouldn't want it any other way. You'd want to be forgiven, don't you? But who did I sin? God. Who's the only one that got you got a problem with? God. And God has made it possible for you to be forgiven. That's an awesome thing. With my Creator, forgiven. Wow. And then all that goes with that, but you have to be saved to enjoy that. So therefore, they're going to cross the Jordan, and then it's a whole new way of life, new creatures in Christ Jesus for us, back for them, chapter 3, picking up, please, in verse 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, the ark, in the middle of the Jordan, about 2,000 cubits, a little over half a mile, by measure, come not near unto it. That the reason I want you to everyone stand back, stay in that, don't step into the water, there won't be any. Step in, don't move, that you may know, verse 4, the way by which you must go that way, for reason, you have not passed this way heretofore. You have never done this in your whole life. You have never done this. You have never known. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, when it says new creature in Christ, you better believe it. It means new. It means something you couldn't dream of, imagine, fantasize about. You couldn't do it. No, it's an awesome thing. Now, you're going to cross over Jordan. It's a brand new thing. Therefore, chapter 5. As you would recall, our study in the book of Joshua. And chapter 5, picking up, please, in 13. 5 and 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. Remember, they crossed the Jordan. They're going to go and have conflict with the enemy. What was it, Jericho? Verse 13. That he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him. He tried to see the city, and he ended up seeing the man. And the man, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? I want to know which side you're on. And God said, I'm not on your side, I'm not on their side. I'm on God's side. I'm on God's side. And therefore, verse 14, he said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? Joshua fell on his feet to the earth, because he had been so much all those years with God. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Now, God, what are you doing? Your sword is what? You have a sword. It is not in its sheath. It's drawn. Your sword is about to be used. The policeman's gun is drawn. It's not in its holster. It's drawn. The reason, we're going to use it. We're going to use it. Whose sword? It's his sword, God's sword.
Right.
And Joshua, what do you do now? Verse 14. Verse 15. And the captain of the host of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. It was holy ground, like Moses before the bush. Holy, holy, holy. God's there. Wherever God is in the bush, it's holy. Wherever God is, it becomes holy. God's there. When God, you receive God as your Savior, what are you to do? 1 Peter 1, 18, 19, 17, 15, 16. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That's what you're going to do. Because you and I have a relationship, said God. So understand, the relationship is I'm making that possible. So therefore, it's holy ground, holy ground. So all of the wonderful land that God has put aside for Israel in Palestine, Jerusalem, is God given to them. God has given it to them. And it's holy ground. So if it's holy ground, it's God's ground for God's will, for God's glory. When you get saved and know the Lord is your Savior, God saves you. It's your body. We did all these things. You are not your own. We did that with emphasis. Your body is no more yours. It belongs to Him. That means your toes, your teeth, your toe, everything. Your whole body belongs to Him. It's a new world. Everything's new, different. And therefore, being new creatures in Christ, here they are. They're going to cross over, and they're going to have to what? Go to war. Because they didn't have to Egypt. That's in the world. And when you're unsaved, you don't have to fight anything. You're part of the system. It's when you get saved. And you have to look to God. So God, here we are. Or here they are. And they're going to cross the Jordan. They're going to go and have to go to war. So therefore, over chapter 10. And be reminded, God has a sword drawn. God's going to go. It's God's territory. When you get saved, your heart belongs to God. So God's, yeah, you and your heart should be in agreement with God. So here's Israel. Israel is to be in agreement with God. And they go to war, and they're going to defeat 33 kings, chapter 12, we don't have to turn there. Going to defeat 33 kings, simply, hardly a loss of man. That's phenomenal. That's phenomenal. To beat 33 kings and their armies. Now, in 7 years. Now, picking up, please, in verse 10. How? How could such be accomplished? Verse 14. And from Lachish, Joshua passed unto Eglon, and all Israel with him, and they encamped against it and fought against it, etc. Chapter 10. That's in verse, I know, I said, what did I say, 14? Did I say 14? You're right, and I'm wrong, because I'm reading 34. The page just flipped. I just stood there, and it went right past me. Chapter 10, verse 4. I knew that wasn't right. 14, I should say. Chapter 10 and verse 14. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, Joshua, for the Lord fought for Israel. Who has the sword drawn? God does. Whose territory is it? God's. Whose will is it? God's. Whose piece of property is it? God's. Whose heart and soul is it? God's. Therefore, he's going to make sure no one's going to touch that which is his. Just read in John chapter 10, he's the shepherd. The shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now, over to verse 42. 10 and 42. And again, All these kings and their land did Joshua take at one time straight through, because How could they possibly do it? Because the Lord God of Israel fought for them. God. Who's the guy with the sword? He is, the captain of the host. Who's the one that's going to help us? If God be for you, what? Who can be against you? Let's see. If God was going to do it, who's going to go against him? No one. It's only we have to eliminate God because no one's going to touch him. Now, sliding over, if I can, to chapter 23. And in chapter 23, you're going to say it again. Chapter 23, verse 3. And you have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all of these nations because of you, for the Lord our God, your God, is he that hath fought for you. So God's the one always doing it. And history, God's own history, he tells you to make sure to fill in any pieces over to Psalm 44. And in Psalm 44, Maskil, Psalm, to have understanding. During the tribulation, such psalms are going to be read. They're meant to help you understand history, to understand where you're at. Chapter 44, verse 1. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us, what work thou didst in their days in times of old, and how Joshua 1, God fought for them. Verse 2. How and what did they understand about history, Israel's? How thou didst drive out the heathen, the nations, the idolaters, from with thy hand, and plantest them? How thou didst afflict the people and cast them out? Wow, you guys are strong. We gotta keep reading. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword. They never did it, but they used the sword. Absolutely. They had to raise their hand. They had to cut into the enemy. Absolutely. But it was God behind it. God behind it. And therefore, verse 3 again, for they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them. It wasn't their strength or anything. Their IQ had nothing to do with that. But thy right hand, God's, and thine arm, and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them. God favored them. God, it was God's people, God's place, God's time, and therefore God, the wonderful, wonderful victory that they were to have, and they were to understand it. And therefore, having said that, so here's the world there, and they, what they had, the victory. God fought. So God, here we are, jumping to us. And here we are, and we could come to know the Lord as our Savior. And more than likely, from a human standpoint, we revert back to what we're addicted to, the normal eating in our refrigerator, coming and going, school, work, home, that's what we do. And we revert back to it. What happened to God? You just got saved? God took over? Where is God? Well, I got saved. I'm going to heaven. But boy, it isn't about going to heaven. It's about having a wonderful transition from death to life. We pass from death unto life in a moment of time. And you went from having no relationship to God to an extraordinary relationship to God in the person of Jesus Christ. That happens the moment you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's awesome. That's the event. Oh, I'm going to go to heaven. Why do I have to believe? Boy, once you get to see it, experience it, you say, how could I have been so stupid to wait so long? Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, in the light of the conflict, the war, and there's no way to get around it, there's no way to get away from it, and we're either going to go like Israel, what did Israel do? Having God fighting for them, God giving it to them, And God told them, we did all these things to don't, Numbers 33 in that. You either dispossess the enemy and possess it, or they're going to possess you. It's either. Either you're going to get the gangrene going up your arm, and we're going to get rid of it, or it's going to keep, if you don't get rid of it, it's going to keep going. That's what it's going to do. That's what it's going to do. You got to get rid of it. They didn't get rid of the idols or the idolaters. They didn't do it. All of that which was against what they had just received, God died on the cross to condemn all of that. So in the process, when they believed in the Lord as their Savior, God freed them from such relationship. And they were to understand that God had set them free. Israel did not enjoy being free. The same as believers like us, we can get saved and know the wonderful, wonderful peace of God, the forgiveness of God, to walk by faith and not by sight and a thousand other things. We can know all that, but never do it. We go to work, homeschool, week after week, year after year. We're saved, maybe saved, we're saved. We never get it, never get it. We could do just like they did. And they didn't do it. And know what? They ended up being out of the land, out of the land. They didn't enjoy God's will for their life, and they ended up in captivity, et cetera, et cetera. And they did that because they wouldn't get rid of the, they wanted to go and fix the gangrene, as it were. They didn't see it as danger. They didn't see it as what it would do if you left it, if you left it. And one of the things we did, of all the different things to understand, that God, for when you get saved, God isn't trying to go and inject into the government of any country, communism, socialism, wherever you want to go, God isn't trying to inject truth. God's saving people out of it. You don't try to save the gangrene. If you're out in the ocean, back in our illustration again, here you are on a good piece of driftwood, rotting driftwood, and rotting driftwood, and the saving ship comes along, Coast Guard comes along and pulls up next to you and puts a hand out to get on board. And they say, no, no, no. And all the people that are on my driftwood, we all agree together. We all agree it's a nice piece of driftwood. And the sharks, we don't see any. So, nice piece of driftwood. And they said, no, no, the only thing we'd like, do you have an extra piece of wood? We don't need it too big. Maybe a little 3x5 piece of wood, little piece. Because our driftwood is driftwood. And if you just give us that little piece of clear wood and we'll put it on our driftwood and keep living, right? Are you safe? That piece of wood's good. What good's a piece of wood new on rotten wood? It's the rotten wood. You got to get rid of the whole thing. They didn't get rid of the idolatry. The idolatry would what? Up their arm, gangrene. And it ate them up. That's what it does. Our friends, our fears, our fault. We're in a world full of fears, trying to drive fears. We're caught up in this thing, and they're using it. That's the whole point, to use the thing. And people are taking advantage of us. That's what we're trying to work out this, what we're up against. We're up against the trees becoming dead, and there'll be no green trees, no green grass, global warming, etc., 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 etc. And you know, biblically, that's a bunch of baloney. How's that? Now, don't tell me that, because you won't find it in God's Word, and you won't find it in secular history either. You won't find it in science either, by the way. So I don't care where you go. We're caught in it, though. We're caught in it. So therefore, being caught in it, the people that aren't, they're using it to do what they do. But we're just normal people trying to live through it and make sure that everything can work out for our retirement and everything. But that's what we're trying to do. They aren't trying to do that. They roll up their sleeves with great aggression to do what they're doing. And they don't care about loss or cost or anything. They're just doing what they're doing, man. But us, not you people, but people normally, they don't do anything. They just watch it happen. Say, why did that happen? You see, because we didn't do anything. Wow. So now, having said that, a long way around to say it, God, you saved us. We've got to get rid of it. We're new creatures in Christ. Now, God, what did you do? You sent and did a wonderful thing. And when you went to the cross, you saved us. So that, God, how do we fight this old nature that we got? It's inside. How do we fight it? Words, thoughts, deeds, fears, faults, failure, pride, all the other stuff that makes us superior and feel good. All of that's flesh. And we got it. And it's there every 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God, how are we going to deal with it? We can't fight it. Like fighting a tar baby, you know. You fight the tar baby, and you fight the tar baby. We said it, remember? And you get the tar baby, and the tar baby gets stuck. Remember, Uncle Remus and all those wonderful things. Wow. You get caught up. Every time you touch the tar baby, you get stuck. You're stuck. That's what the tar baby does. So, God, are we going to do that? No, we don't. Do you ever, years ago, I think it was Norman Vincent Peale, Power of Positive Thinking of that. I was thinking those things the other day. And just down the street from the church, the open door, Bible door down there, in Los Angeles, Dr. McGee years ago, and Methodist Church was there. And I was able to sit in the steps. Actually, if you can imagine downtown L.A., sitting in the steps, street, busy, with Dr. Vincent Peale, Norman Vincent Peale, and we sat there, sat there on the steps and talked. Wonderful, power of positive thinking. He was a great guy, a wonderful guy, very popular, but no question in the country at the time. But, that isn't going to do it. God, how are we going to fight? Crucifixion. I died for you and set you free. And the body laying there in the casket. Think of it as you. It's a corpse. Corpse. Colossians 3. Turn there for a moment. I didn't mean to lose it all, but God help us. And in Colossians, and chapter 3, picking up, please. Verse 5. I hope you see it, at least this little bit. Colossians 3, verse 3. For you are dead, that's why you look to God, to trusting God. For you are dead. Dead means dead. Dead means quite dead. You are dead, and your life, where is it? It's hid. Where? With Christ. Where? In God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. What are we going to do, God, having such a wonderful relationship? We're going to go in verse 5. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinance, affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. We're going to do what? Mortify means a corpse. You're a dead corpse. That's what it means, mortify. It's a dead body, mortify, a dead body. Be a dead body, how's that? And dead bodies don't care about mortgage, they don't care about the weather, they don't care about what you say to them. It doesn't matter because they're dead. They're dead. God said that's the only way you'll beat your old nature. Reckon yourself, Romans 6:11, reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin. That's the only way you're going to do it. And it's how do you do it? I got to have great effort. No, you don't. I got to have great intellect. No, you don't. When you get saved, God has made that possible because when he died on the cross, that's baptism, there you are, and you're to reckon yourself dead. We walk by faith, not by sight. And so it isn't effort. I stop making the effort and the energy and the to do better, the power to improve your life and all of those. Those are wonderful things from a human standpoint. But they don't take care of the gangrene. They don't take care of your old nature. It just mortifies it. It plays with it, I should say. Manages it. And I don't want to manage it. I want to be free. I want to enjoy being saved. Don't you? You ought to enjoy being saved. It's a wonderful thing. Not to get caught up, and we're caught up, I don't have to do it. God said, reckon yourself dead indeed. Mortify in your body all of these things that oppose God. That doesn't mean you have to mortify eating and drinking. You're going to go have a hamburger or a hot dog. Then have one of them. Whatever you eat and drink, you're to do it to the what? To the glory of God. So we don't get caught up in that. Say, I got to be dead. No, you're dead. And God has given you a wonderful relationship to himself. And you understand everything, 2 Corinthians, notice, turn there, 10, 3, 4, and 5. Exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. You take into captivity every thought. And what we just read in verse 5, I don't want to have fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. I don't want to have stuff that goes against God. And I don't have to have that. I can enjoy watching Portia Faces life or something. Some silly thing. And whatever. I can do all of that without getting in trouble. It's when anything in my head starts overriding God and his word. That I have to deal with. That I have to deal with. That I cast down. That's up to me. You got a computer and a smartphone. What are you doing? You push all the buttons. And if the smartphone says jump and you don't want to, that's not a good illustration. If you're going and the smartphone says something and it says to do it and to do it. And we don't know because we get so dependent. We just do it. We just do what something we read, something that someone says, we just do it. And we don't deal with it properly. God says you're freed, you're forgiven, and you ought to enjoy being freed. So I don't have to fight. I just relax and thank God it's finished. Now what? My battle is now something I never had. Crossing the Jordan, you got to go fight the enemy. When you get saved, you got an old nature. And the old nature, you live with it for X years in your life. When you get saved, Galatians 5 and 17, you have an awesome conflict now in your heart between the Spirit of God and your old nature. You never had that in your life. That's war. That's a war. War in your heart, 1 Peter 3. You got a war going on. You never had that in your life. That means you're saved. That's a good sign. That's a good sign. Something's going on inside of you. And understand that. So God, here we are. We've got to look to you. And you save us in a most wonderful way. And in the process of 100 things. Remember Peter in putting aside. We aren't trying to win. Peter, we did it last time, all those things. Peter didn't get rid of his sword. Peter even went and they said, buy two swords, et cetera, as we did the other day. And you're going to go and what? The Lord said it. As long as you're in this world, you need to protect yourself. You need to do things. So you aren't sitting there like as a little scapegoat. You're a sheep, formidable, because God's keeping you. But when things come up, you got to do some things. You got to do them. Police, firemen, military, whatever it is. There's all kinds of ways, things you get, self-protection. You do it. Now, so I got to understand that. But I'm not violating. I need to put it to pieces together, or else I don't know how to war. I don't know how to win the war. It's a good warfare. And by the way, Timothy, 1 Timothy, and chapter 2. These are all things that are helpful. We just can't touch them all for you. I wish you knew them. You probably do know them. You probably can practice them in the midst of all of this. 1 Timothy chapter 2. May I go directly. Verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So we're praying for everybody. You got it? Now, having said that, verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority. Wow, communism and everywhere. Wow, what are you praying? Verse 2, that purpose we believers may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness, fearing God, going, having a God-honoring testimony, and honesty. We want you to leave us alone, the system, leave us alone so that we can honor God. That's what happened in our country. They crossed the pilgrims, etc. What did they want? They wanted freedom to honor God in a world that wasn't going to let them honor God. And that's why they came. That's why we got our declaration. We hold these truths to be self-evident, etc. We're created. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Awesome. It's a country. We're the only one, apart from Israel, there is no other country like us. Ever. Ever. We're founded by it. We're like it. Judeo-Christian background. Wow. That's what we got. And that's being thrown away. Wow. So God, what are we praying for? We're going to pray for them to get better. No. Leave us alone and let us worship. Do you understand? And to boot, you want another one? All kinds. Romans chapter 12. Say it again to me, God. Romans chapter 12, picking up, please, in verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. As much as they'll let you live at peace. If they won't let you live at peace, then you got a problem. But you live at peace. Leave me alone and let me honor God and do the right things in the right way. God help us to do it. Well, I'm not going to let you do that. Then you got a problem. And then you're looking for God to what? To come and fight for you. To do. And if he wants you to get your head cut off like with the Islamic, then you get your head cut off. But that isn't an issue. That isn't an issue, as you know, as we did all these things. That's a minor thing. It is. God said, your life isn't in the body. We just did it. The life isn't in the body. It's where? It's in Christ, inside of you. And I can get rid of your brains, your blood, your bones, your brawn, beauty. I can take it all away and put it in the wastebasket. And you are just as wonderfully saved without them. Do you understand? So it isn't all this equipment. The equipment's only to work here. God saves us in a wonderful way to enjoy life, in this body, in his grace and mercy, and we try to do it for his honor and glory. We're new creatures in Christ. We need to understand that. But we need to understand there's a war. The war in my heart. And if I don't keep looking to God, my old nature keeps winning. But how am I going to stop my old nature? I don't. I walk by faith and not by sight. So I'm not trying to win this war of my heart. God has already defeated it on Calvary's cross. I just thank God. It's finished. That's what you want to do. And enjoy it. Wow. Our God and Father, deal with our heads and our hearts and help us in every way. God, it's just us. We're trying to come to grips more and more for better and better with some understanding of the pieces that make the picture clear and simple and plain. So deal with us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring. God, you understand everything you've said and have given. that God help us to understand. And God will thank you for your keeping, caring, watching over us, God. No one else can help us. And nothing we do is going to help us. God, it's your grace to save us, to set us apart, sanctify us, and to cause us to have the wonderful privilege of the outworking of your life. So thank you, Spirit of God, for all that you're doing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Deal with the heart of each one. Bless, encourage, give understanding. Help us to learn, to unlearn, to relearn. And our God, we're going to thank you very much again. In Christ's name, amen.